Today's daf in Masechet Shviit Yerushalmi is daf Lamed Tet, and we finished in the Mishnah that according to Beit Shammai, even though they're normally makbid, that you can't use metal rakes, and you have to use wood in order to make that shinui for Shemitah. Otherwise, people will think that you're going to head and you're doing Chamisha. That in a case where the pua is pua shel tzilaot, that they're made that you can use even metal. But it's not clear what the pua shel tzilaot means exactly. So the Gemara explains that pua shel tzilaot is from the word tzela. Tzela and tzela is, in the Yerushalmi, is basically the same thing. So what it means is there's a putra, so that if it's growing in a place where nobody's going to think, what do you mean, you think I'm preparing the ground for doing planting? Who plants in rock? So since usually there's no way that he's going to do that, the fact that it happened to be growing there is not a problem. So if the pua was pua in idit, like we said, yes, then you have to worry. But the type of pua that grows in even such ground, that nobody's going to think that you're going ahead and doing a chamisha preparing. V'tani Amar, by the way, I mean, once we see that there's a heter al libra beit shammai, that you can even use metal, so then there's a general halach about that, that mokam shenagu l'acharosh, yacharosh, l'nakesh, yinakesh. So where people actually do that, and they tear out the pua in places like that, you could even use a plow to tear it out, or you can even, if you normally would weed it, so then you could do that. Now, this is a little bit strange, because we do find that we were very makbid, even in crazy places, where like you had a whole pile of rock that you were quarrying. You have to make it clear that there's no chashash, that you're going to be doing actual harisha. So because of that, the Gra has a completely different girsa that reverses it. And what it says is, dafka, you should make a shinui. And that mokam shenagu lacharosh, yachpor. And lenakesh, yakor. So that basically, the girsa and the brisa is that you need to make some kind of shinui. So if people usually will bring a plow to plow it up, so then you should dig it. If people dig it, if people weed it, so then you should actually tear it out by the roots. Okay, fine. You can understand the mokar for both girsaot. The next case that we had, mutar adam likachluf. So Rabbi Yehuda said, if you want to buy luf from someone who is choshud al shviyas, you don't have to worry about it. The minute shviyas is over, you can go ahead. And the chachamim say, what do you mean? It's like all things. If you're buying from a choshud al shviyas, then the halacha is that it needs to be mishi yarbe the chadash on the yashan of shviyas. Why in the world does Rabbi Yehuda hold that luf is different than other things? So my time at Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the svara for Rabbi Yehuda to say that? Answers the Gemara, because, listen, remember the really serious gezeiros that we had on the luf. So we said before that even, okay, it's true according to Beit Shammai, it's really very different, that you can only use wood. But even Aliba, the Beis Hillel, you can't use the normal rake that you would use. So that means that it's going to be very difficult for you to do a good job at getting the luf out of the ground. So why in the world would this guy go to such tircha? Because he's scared to do his normal work. Everybody's going to see him. So he's not going to be able to do his normal agricultural work on luf, which makes it easier to uproot. He's going to have to go to this tircha. He's not going to do that. He would rather wait. Oh, wait a week, you know. I'll take it out after Shviyas. And there, since the Lakita was after Shviyas, I don't have to worry. So because of that, you can assume that there's no problem. So all of those changes are dinim davka in luf, in which case you have a right to figure that this luf must have been actually harvested after Shviyas, even though it's mamish the next day. Yeah, but to do it the day before would have been a tremendous amount of tircha. But they didn't make all of these takonas on Lakitas Yerek. So, Ryan, when it comes to just regular yirakot, so there you would need to have most of the yirakot being from the new crop, and then you don't have to worry if he's choshev al shviyas. But when it comes to luf, over there, we have these halachas. Fine. That's his svar. That's Rabbi Yehuda's svar. But the problem is, if that's true, so then why wouldn't you even be able to buy luf during Shemitah? Because, I mean, if this guy is claiming that, remember, that luf stays in the ground for a very long time. So this guy is claiming during Shemitah that he's selling you luf from the Shana HaShishit. And you are telling me that it's a svara that a guy is not going to go to the tircha of taking luf out, which is so difficult to do that during Shviyas. So I understand. So why don't we believe him, even if he's selling it to you during Shviyas? Why do we only believe him if it's the day after Shviyas? It should be exactly the same issue. So me'ata filo b'shviyas nami, it should be mutter. No. What we're talking about over here, we're talking about luf. Remember that the luf, if you sell fresh luf, it's one thing. If you're selling luf that is tamun, I mean, that was the whole point. The guy is selling luf, he's claiming it's from the sixth year. It's been underground, he says, for the past year. And I took it out in the sixth year. And we're talking about that it was in the freezer, so to speak. It was buried underground. And now I'm taking it out. So it wasn't a fresh luf. So when we say over here, the guy wouldn't have, I was going to go harvest with the shinuyim and so on. That's very difficult. But that's only benogea to do something that I did during Shviyas, and then I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it later, right? I mean, that kind of thing, I'm not going to do. I mean, if I have to do a regular harvest and sell it for when I usually bring it to the market, so then, okay, I'm not going to do a lot of that now. It's crazy. I'll wait till next week. Masha Enkein, if I have the need for money, and now it's during Shemitah, and I need money, okay, so I'm certainly willing to go through the Tircha to make money right now. So the Mela, if he would be able to sell it, then he would do it when it would be necessary. So we don't want him to bring Shelo Yelech Yavim and Asur V'yomar Minat Tomun Heveti. That he could say, and we'd have no way of knowing. Okay, but the Rabbanan, they hold even in a Geluf B'Shminis. The guy might have actually picked it the week before, and therefore you need to have Rove of the new Luf. Tony, Omer Rav Yehuda. So in the Braita, Rav Yehuda says, I can tell you, an actual event, he says to the Chachamim, in which we know that the previous Deres, Paskin like me, there was a Maisa in Ein Kushim, where we were there, and it was right after Sukkot, and Rabbi Tarfon told us that we could eat the luf that was for sale right after Sukkot by someone who was kosher to HaShviyas, and it was Mitzvah HaShviyas, the Sukkot Mitzvah, Chagmi Mitzvah HaShviyas. So you see that Rabbi Tarfon also was Matir luf. Oh my Lord, Rabbi Yosa, you know, your memory is playing tricks on you. I was with you. And yes, we did eat it, except it wasn't after Sukkot, it was after Pesach. So because of that, imcha yiti, v'lo haya el matzoya Pesach. By matzoya Pesach, there's plenty of new luf. And therefore, your raya is completely and totally irrelevant. And this brings us to the next halacha. Okay, so now we're up to Perek Chamishi, and Halacha Gimel. Now we're talking about a completely different issue. And this is, once we've brought up the question, when can you buy from a Choshet al HaShviyas, we have a similar question about when can you sell to a Choshet al HaShviyas. What do you mean, when can I sell? Well, there's a din of not being Machzik Yedei Ovri Avera, even if it's not the din of literal Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver means halacha, to be over on the deraisa of Lifnei Iver, is when I make it possible for the person to do this. And that would be where I'm the only way that because of what I offered him, he therefore was able to do averas. Now, if the guy can go into any store along the block that says makolet on it and buy an AK rifle, you know, like in the Shtachim, that's not called Lifnei Iver because he can get this anywhere. It's only what the Gemara calls trei avrei denar. That's also for Gavi to write down, that the din of Lifnei Iver is eno elo betrei avrei denar. You have two people, one on one side of a river, one on the other side of the river. The guy has no access to what's on the other side of the river unless I motorboat it over to him. That's called Lifnei Iver. Nonetheless, as the Rambam explains over here on the Mishnah, that the idea of Lifnei Iver is somebody who's got a Yetzer Hara that is blinding him, so he's blind, because he doesn't know the difference between good and bad. So because of that, you cannot even encourage him. So it's called Machzik Yedei Ovri Aver, which is not literally the Yisr D'Raisa of Lifnei Iver, but still, as the Rambam puts it, the Enei HaTa'ava, It's the tava, the yetzer are sagra enough. So he's like a leaf naive. Lo tazoroto. Don't help him. Lo sif beivrono. Don't help him to get even more blind than he is. And therefore, there are certain things that we should not sell to someone who's going to be over on the shvius, because they will make it easier for him to be over on the shvius. So the following things are things that are used only for doing malacha on shvius, that's us. So you cannot sell him a bacharesh of a kokoleha, the whole thing that comes together with the plow, the various knives, the various connections, and so on and so forth. That's a very wide type of iser, because there's lots of things that connect to the plow. And the ol, which actually hooks up an animal to a farming instrument. A mizre, which according to most means like a fork, what do they call it? The fork, those little shovels where you throw the stuff up.
A winnowing fork?
Yeah, but there's a simple word
for pitchfork.
Pitchfork, yes. Yes, a pitchfork. You take the fork and you pitch it up into the sky. Over here, it's a special kind that's used for winnowing. Yes. And a deker. Right, so a deker, sometimes maybe it's a hoe with a sharp edge. You can't sell it to him because these things are used, mamish, for doing iser melacha on shvius. But you can sell things that are not necessarily going to be used for an iser. So you could sell him a magal yad. You could sell him a magal katsir. You could sell him a truck. Because there's things that, I mean, even if you're just going to be taking a little bit of tuah for your own family, you would still use a magal yad and even a magal katsir, because you're allowed to take the things for your own family. Zakla. Koshim alach to miuchedet lavedas ha'olim. Anything that's made specifically for an avedas iser osir. But kol, shemalach to le'iser ulaheter, if you could use it for either iser v'heter, even though you have strong suspicions that this guy is buying this stuff in order to do isurian, it is mutter. Now, how about storage containers? So you are a potterer, and the guy wants to buy a lot of these storage containers for oil, storage containers for wine. You're thinking, wait a minute over here. Why is this guy buying so much stuff? He's probably planning on doing an usher run of actual wine or oil. So how much can you sell that would be acceptable as something that would be part of what is mutter during Shemitah? Well, you could sell him chamesh kadei shemen. You could sell him up to 5 for oil and 15 for wine. And these are different shapes, as Barnea will tell us. The shape of a kadei shemen is very different from a kadei yayin. And we don't have a chashash. If you sell him 20 altogether, he'll use them all for wine. He'll use them all for oil. No. Each thing is used for its particular purpose. And Barnea wants to show us some pictures, I'm assuming.
I'll look at pictures, but lean other, but Rabbi Sandy Kasson taught this to me, and I wrote him 40 years ago. The idea of the bottom of it is it catches the dregs. So the oil one just has a little place, because there's only a little bit of dregs, but the wine ones have a long nose, so to speak, to catch more and separate the grids, so it's instantly recognizable.
Okay. Shkaya. Now, what about if he brings more than that amount? So I said, machlokas over here, what exactly does this mean? He's bringing in more oil and wine, and therefore he needs more to store it in? Or does it mean if he brings in, and now he wants to get rid of these, or you keep it in his house, we say, what are you doing with it? That's a question. Whether we're talking about you're allowed to sell him more, or that he's allowed to keep more. But in either event, you can understand that he had, once it's brought, so then we're not chayshish that he took it, dafka, from a mokum of iser. And okay, you can't sell him to do that lechatrila, but if he does it, fine. You're also allowed to sell in Eretz Yisrael to an Ovid Kechavim, and we're not chayshish that the Ovid Kechavim is going to turn around and sell it to the chashudim al hashviyas. And you could be mocher to a Yisrael who's in chutz la'aretz as much as he wants, and we're not afraid that what he's trying to do is actually import these into Eretz Yisrael, and he's got a phony corporation in chutz la'aretz, and he's buying it. We don't have to be chashish for that. So you can sell directly to a goy, you can sell directly to someone in chutz la'aretz. But Shamayim, there's other things that you shouldn't sell. Don't sell him a para. if this is the type of para that does actual plowing, then you shouldn't sell him that kind of para. Whereas Beit Hillel says, I mean, what do you mean? Just because a para can plow doesn't mean that it's no longer food. I mean, people eat parot. So why shouldn't I be able to sell it? So you'll say, I mean, come on, why should a person, a para that does plowing is a very powerful para and it's worth more as doing its work. Why would somebody want to eat it? No, mela. I mean, what if your gavi and this para is coming and attacking you all the time and so on, you're scared to even hook it up to your plow. So then probably the best thing to do is to eat it. Anyway, I can't know. And therefore, it says, but, you know, as long as it's theoretically open to a different use, we said before that even though it's mistaber that the guy's going to use it for yisur, I don't have to take the worst case into consideration. I take the base case into consideration. And you can even sell him peirot during the time of the zriya, even though he might be using these peirot to go ahead and bizorea them, right? Doesn't matter. Because, I mean, he could be using the chumas for chumas, not necessarily for planting. You can actually lend him a sa'ah for measuring, even though he knows this guy does have a goren. Okay, but you can't say the only thing that a guy is going to use a sa'ah for is for producing grain and packaging it to be able to sell. I mean, you don't know that. There's plenty of usages for a sa'ah. And you can even give him change. A guy comes in, comes into the bank, your shulchani, and he wants to take a large amount of money and break it up into smaller amounts, which is usually what he would have to do in order to pay the people that are working for him, you know. And you know that he's got people that work for him during Shemitah. You can still do that for him because there's no necessity to say that the change that he wants to get from you is dafka to do an iser to pay workers during Shemitah. I mean, it's true that it makes you feel icky, but the bottom line is, it's not considered to be misayeli. They ever have air in the open. I mean, you don't know what he needs it for. So even though you know there are workers that are there, but if the guy says, beferish, I need money to pay my workers, or I need that Torah of yours because it's so strong and I need it to do the work for me, then you're not allowed to, because then it actually would be the equivalent of misayel lidei ivri avera, which even encouraging and even indicating some level of approving or winking about, even that is considered to be usur.
Okay. What level of proof do we have to have to be suspicious of a person, to suspect him of working?
That's the only use of it. We don't need proof. The gezeirah was against anything that is specifically for that purpose. Or, if the guy says it's for that purpose, then of course, it would be us.
So I'm saying, the first one comes in, is a city dweller wants to buy a tractor, or hoe, he can't sell pitchfork, he can't sell it to him, he's included in that, even as much as just that person would use it for that?
Well, what do you mean? What do you use agricultural implements for, if not agriculture?
He's got a coffee shop where he wants to have a farm, and look, I don't know, he's an interior designer.
But then that's us, sir. If it's an interior, if it's an alone, Alone wants to buy a tractor in order to put it into the shul so that people should remember the dinim of Shemitah, that would be mutter. All right. Kol tov, Rabbi Yisai. Yishma b'sirot tovot. Pizzeicha this evening to the beginning of the Nisim and Niflais that should come our way on this Chanukah.
Amen.
Kol tov, everyone.